You're listening to Off the Rails in Romancelandia with the Stalker Sisters, a journey through all things indie romance related. Some language may not be suitable for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur.
We are starting off a brand new year with a brand new rebrand and two of our absolute favorite people on the planet. So we are super excited. The Off the Rails in Romancelandia podcast is starting fresh in 2024 with the amazing incomparable Kaylee Loring and Connor Crace. So thank you guys so much for being here with
wow.
us. We're super excited
thank
about
you for having us.
You're welcome.
We're just going to sit for a minute. Connor, just say anything. Just talk.
Say anything. That's how we're starting the interview. No quiz. Say a thing.
Just say a word. Anything. There
thank
we go.
Girl again.
Because yeah, where's the dog? We should bring her over. So yeah. Maggie, she liked that. She responded
Maggie.
Well.
Maggie. Sit.
She totally did.
Yes. Good girl. Good girl, Maggie.
There we go. She is a good girl. She just turned 9 yesterday, so we're very, very happy with
nice.
Our
happy
little
birthday.
Maggie here. Yeah, she's a good girl. All right. So we're here talking about all the things, and this is actually going to air, if all the stars align, on the same day as your new book.
Really?
So yes. So we're super excited
cool.
about that. Unless you don't want it to, because we can totally no, shift that either way.
I'm fine with that.
Talk to Julie.
It feels like a million years away. It feels like...
It's really not.
No, it's not. Soon.
Yeah, it's 10 days soon. Away.
I know. It still feels like a million years.
So, so you've got a new, brand new book coming out. So tell us a little bit about the brand new book.
Oh, it's called The Billionaire is Back. And it's our first billionaire romance. And it's a small town brother's best friend, steamy romantic comedy. And it's pretty funny. Do you want to talk about it, bicep person?
I have a name.
Sir?
Yeah, well, how did it start? You wanted to write we talked about what we wanted to do next and we said, billionaire? Was that you or was that me?
It was you.
It was me? I said billionaire?
It was sort of like, fuck it, let's just write a billionaire romance. Yeah.
Okay, well. That sounds right. That sounds
and
like
then
me.
I wanted to write a small town romance and I wanted to write a brother's best friend romance.
Right. So then, and then we take those pieces that we initially start and we go like, okay, so what is this? What could this story look like then if those are the initial ingredients? So then it all just kind of came back from there. So the whole idea, the billionaire is back. So he comes home after gaining his fortune. So that was kind of the deal. So how do we get the small town back in there? So he's a New Englander, like I was, so that was part of the fun of writing it for me is the idea of coming home to New England, what that would look like.
If I could just jump in, it's set in a fictional small town called Beacon Harbor in Maine. That's kind of based on Booth Bay Harbor, which is a very charming, lovely coastal town.
Yep.
I love it. And this isn't the first book that you guys have written together. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. And the cool thing is, thank you guys both very much. We received advanced listening copies. So we could dive right in with the audio, which is fantastic. Narrated by Connor and Samantha Brentmore. And it is absolutely wonderful. We've really been enjoying it. So thank you guys for that, because that's a really great way to experience any of your books is fantastic. So we definitely appreciate that. And we're not new necessarily to listening to you guys. We've definitely listened to your books before. I kind of have a habit of grabbing them as soon as they come out and pushing to the side whatever I happen to be listening to. I just won't say what I was listening to. And popping them right in because I enjoy listening to them. But so like I said, we're not new to listening to you guys, to reading your books. I'm trying to think, the first book that I read, Kaylee, by you was the Christmas one.
A Very Bossy Christmas.
Yes, was Bossy Christmas. And I was kind of hooked.
That was the first one I recorded for Kaylee. That's how we met.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Okay. which is one of my questions, was how did you guys meet? But so that's very cool. Julie, how'd you find Kaylee?
I believe it was through Avery Maxwell's reader group. I don't know if it was Ron, you might be able to tell us that.
I think it was the book club.
Okay.
We did the friendly Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
That was the
Kabuber. And then I went, oh man. Oh, the Kabuber.
The Kabuber.
That was very Vegas.
That was very Vegas.
That was Vegas.
Yep, that was next.
That was the second book we wrote together. Right. Was very Vegas.
The Kabuber was actually a Connor idea.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
For the Kabubi. Yeah.
That was fantastic. Yeah. But so, Ron, what about you? First Kaylee book?
My first Kaylee book? Oh, the first Kaylee book was probably Sleeper.
Really?
Okay. Maybe. Long time ago, same in a far galaxy far away. I think I found her on a because of a Facebook post, maybe on Lucy's group. I don't remember for sure, but I've been reading her for a long time. And then the Valentine's Day book was the first audio book, but it was also my very first audio book because I don't like them.
Really?
The only audio books that I listen to are Connor's.
Okay, keep Clark. Talking.
And Jason Clark.
Who?
You don't like?
I haven't heard. Huh?
Yeah. We don't talk about him.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that name.
Yeah. No. So that
I'll have to look him up. I haven't really heard much about
him. I had started to listen to a couple of other audiobooks and couldn't do it. And then, but your Valentine's Day book was the very first that I actually like, I loved this. Then Vegas and it was all over. And now the baseball books and.
Yeah. I think Valentine was the first audiobook I listened to that Connor narrated. So I'm trying to think back to what the first one was because I wasn't into audiobooks for a long time. But I think Valentine was the first one I listened to that Connor narrated, and then it was kind of like everything.
It helps that he also does audio for Avery, so like I have an excuse.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah, that's another thing doing the when I audio proof for authors, and certain narrators come up, and I'm like,
speaking of Michelle, I recently recorded a book, but I don't know which one it was. Your notes were still in it.
Uh-oh. That had to be
Josie.
What? Who was it?
Was it Josie Watt?
Maybe. I also probably shouldn't say who it was. It's since not a I don't water. Know what's. Well, I never know what is public.
So it's fine.
I actually just finished No Coming Back, Troy, for Janice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my notes were in that one.
Yeah. When I was looking at it, so the whole time I knew what Michelle liked and was like, she's like, this is a really good part. And I was like, all right.
She used the copy I had the teasers in.
Yes.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah, that one. And then there was, you did the audio for Samantha Christie for the first McQuaid book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. The grandpa
Tucker
McQuaid. Mm-hmm. I begged Samantha Christie to let you do every line through the whole series for because Tucker. You were the perfect Tucker McQuaid. Perfect.
Yep. That was a good book too. That was Hawk was a difficult character and it's hard sometimes to bring the ultimate asshole to life and have people like him.
Not
so,
for Connor.
And that's what I was going to say, but there are certain people who do it really, really well. And, you have to be able to put a lot of personality into an audiobook when you're reading it. I keep telling people when I'm thinking of audiobooks that it's not about reading. It's not reading. You're performing someone's work. And it makes a huge difference when I listen to an audiobook, a performance versus a reading. I don't want someone to read a book to me. I can read a book to my damn self. I need someone to bring it to life in my head, which is another reason why I kind of grabbed onto a lot of Kaylee's books, a lot of your books, because of the full cast recording that you do with them, with the brothers. Brody family, the Brody brothers. Yeah, the full cast ones were like just epic. So,
well, I think that's why Kaylee and I clicked as well as we did. Is, I mean, she writes for acting. Not every writer writes for performance. True. Some are more, some read more as narration, and some are more, you can't not act them. So obviously what I do and what I like, I gravitate towards the second. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, when I did Bossy Christmas, I was like, oh, what's this? I had done enough at that point to know a lot of the moves and a lot of like, okay, I see how this goes. And Kaylee's stuff is just, it's not, it's like in a category all its own. So I was like, oh, this is okay. I can really act this thing. Yeah. That's awesome.
You did, bro. You really did.
And it shows. It definitely shows. Susie, I we kind of like get off the track here. Susie, what was your first Kaylee book? What was the first Connor narration?
This was my first Kaylee book.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
We've introduced you to Kaylee. Sweet.
I've heard you guys talk about it before, and I think I have you guys, like the Bossy Christmas on my TBR, but I just never got to read it. And then I don't do Audible at all. So this was my first Audible as well.
Really?
I had a really hard time listening to it because I like to highlight the notes in Kindle and I like to go back and reread. And then there was a part, it was like, I have a squirrel brain. So it took me, I was like, okay, what did he say? And yeah,
you just talk back.
That is an ad for the audio.
I usually wind up going back and highlighting. I've actually pulled over to the side of the road to pull up my phone with the Kindle app on it and bring up a book and highlight things in it because I'm like, that was really good. I need to remember that.
I paused and took notes, and I'm like, I can't do this. I need to physically read the book.
Susie rewinds because she didn't hear it correctly the first time. I rewind because I want to hear it again.
Yes. Yeah, Kaylee's, I'm trying to remember which one it was, but I know that Kaylee, one of your audiobooks was the first one where I had to pull over to the side of the road because I was laughing so hard I was going to wreck. Do you remember which one it was, Julie? Because I messaged her right away and I'm like, I am sitting in a parking lot laughing my ass off. People are looking at me like I'm weird because I am laughing so hard I'm crying at this book, but I can't stop listening to it.
My guess is that it was the Vegas one.
Yeah, I think it was Vegas.
I think probably it was Vegas. Part.
I think you're right. I just remember sitting in a parking lot in Ellicott City going, I'm going to wait right here until this scene ends and then I'll keep going because I was in tears. I was laughing so hard. So yeah. It's happened again a couple times since. I have to remind myself sometimes that there are certain books I should not listen to when I'm driving because I live out rural and the roads are,
safety first. I always worry about that, honestly. It's like Avery talks about that too. She always talks about how she's missing turnoffs and laughing and I.
Yeah, she sounded not safe on the road. Listening to audiobooks like and driving. It.
Yeah, I don't like hearing that people stay up late and to read my books. I would rather people sleep and, you know, I'm glad they're laughing.
I completely disagree. I'm the half. Listen all night long. Enjoy. Live life to the fullest.
Later.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Connor and Kaylee got me in trouble in a car waiting room, an auto repair waiting room. Okay. I think it was Vegas that got me in trouble because I forgot that I didn't have my earbuds in. And everybody just was kind of like, okay.
Strawberry scene.
That was fantastic. But that was fantastic. There are certain scenes that they stick out in your mind. And even with the new one, like there are some that I've listened to two ago and I still remember that scene very, very vividly. And then in the new one, there are scenes where I'm like, yeah, that one's going to live rent free in my head forever. And we're not going to talk this spoilers. So, just know that people are going to listen and read it. And it's like, okay, yeah, this one's going to live rent free in my head forever and ever and ever because they're just hilarious.
Thank you.
They're really well done.
So well done.
I've got so many questions. And so I think you touched on it a little bit, but I want to circle around to it a little bit more. Kaylee, why did you start writing romance? When and why did you start writing romance? What's the backstory for Kaylee?
So I was a professional screenwriter in Hollywood for a long time under a different name. And so I did it for like 15 years. And I just kind of woke up one day and realized that that career was probably over unless I wanted to start over as a TV writer. I was writing feature films for studios. And I didn't want to do that because you have to be in a room with other writers and pitch story ideas. And as I've tried to explain to you, I don't like talking. And so, yeah, can you imagine? Like, I literally would have been on the toilet like all day, every day. But
nobody has any context for that, Kaylee.
I don't care.
That was part of the pre-show.
I don't care.
Okay.
Now don't you put have two to start
a Patreon and and charge people to hear the.
Sorry.
So I realized that obviously the only thing I can do is write. And I had a friend who had always wanted to be an author, and I encouraged her to write erotica when that was sort of starting in like 2011, 2012 or something like that. I said, you can do this. And she actually did pretty well back in the, in the gold rush days of writing self-publishing romance. And I thought, well, I guess I'll do that. And it's funny because I actually hated writing romantic comedies as a screenwriter because romantic comedy scripts are very nuts and bolts and you really don't get to reinvent the wheel. And I guess the thing that was missing in those scripts for me was the sex because I kind of really enjoyed writing that. And I also, you know, when you write screenplays, you aren't allowed to, it's kind of cheating if you write a monologue, like an internal monologue. And and I realized writing these books that I actually really love getting into characters' heads. So what I first did was, when I still lived in LA, I novelized a sort of half-written romantic comedy called The Workation that I had written, and I just sort of sprinkled in a little bit of sex. And I had, at that point, only read like 1.5 other steamy romantic comedies that were published by indie romance authors, and I was like, okay, yeah, I got it. And I just, you know, I wrote it really quickly and published it, and it did okay. And I thought, well, I guess I'm gonna be an author. And so I spent the next year kind of shifting into author life, which meant, you know, putting my house up for sale in LA and moving to a more affordable part of America. And so yeah, at the end of 2017, I started writing and self-publishing steamy romantic comedies. And the goal was I was gonna stay under the radar for my first 9 books. And then by my 10th book, like this was my business plan. And then by my 10th book, I figured I would know what I was doing kind of enough to start doing things the way professional authors are supposed to do them. So that's
hilarious.
Yeah, and
not what most people do. They're like, they want the hit.
Nobody should do what I did. Like, things have, you know, kind of worked out for me okay, but like, I especially because of working with Connor, and Connor being much more strategic than I am, and he's always kind of like, why aren't you more successful? Like, you
that's not how I couch it. That's not it. No, I'm what's his face from The Notebook. What do you want?
Yeah.
Damn it, what do you want? Like, and so yes. Kaylee has to articulate what her actual goal is.
And I love it.
Yeah, and she hates it.
I love it.
But yeah, so I'm trying to be more businessy now and have goals and ambitions and yeah.
Well, the industry has changed a lot where it's not, you have to be more strategic. There's more people in the pool, more fish in the sea, whatever. And
there's
have
a lot
to
of robots in the pool, too. Yeah.
Yeah, there are. They need to go. Not a fan of all that crap, but it is. There's more people writing. There's more people putting out books and I was going to use the word infiltrating. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, trying to, to infiltrate a market that's established but continues to grow. And there's more readers coming in all the time too, which is fantastic. Yeah. But there's more challenges now. So I think you really do have to be more strategic now than a lot of authors had to be or were, you know, 8-10 years ago. And like you said, it changes almost every month.
Yeah.
You really have to know where you're going. So having a plan is not necessarily a bad thing. As an author mentor, I will say that is not a bad thing to have a plan. But having a fluid plan is also a really good thing, and knowing that things change.
Oh yes, I'm very fluid. super fluid. So anyways, and then once I realized that I could write for audio, that was kind of a game changer for me too. And that happened in 2018, 2019. 2019. So that that was when things got more fun for me, I think. Yeah.
I love that, because you said you write for audio. And I think there are certain authors who definitely do write for audio. You know, you think of it as a performance, as a screenplay, something that you're writing versus something that's read. And
yeah, because I had been writing for actors for such a long time. And I got to a point where I kind of missed that. And then I realized that I didn't have to miss it anymore. And so that was pretty great. Yeah.
I love that. Those types of realizations are not many people listen when those things come into their mind. So I love that you did, that you listened to that little voice. And so Connor, how did you get into narrating, and how did you move from narrating to writing and narrating? Because they're kind of different.
Narrating romance?
Narrating in general, where did you start in narrating?
Well, I've been doing voiceover for a long time. I mean, now it's been, I don't know, 15 years maybe. A lot of corporate voiceovers. I had some commercials. I did theater for a while. I did a couple of TV shows, very limited, not like anything serious, just like a few episodes here and there. And then Ava Lucas found me randomly. And she's like, hey, I think you'd be good at this. You should check out this whole world. And I kind of put her off for a while, maybe a year. I was like, I don't know anything about that. But then I was looking for something new. And so I put more effort into it, and I found this thing, and I said, oh, okay. I think Ava led me somewhere good. So then I decided, we had a child come down, and,
yes,
I have a wife upstairs corralling mine. So we'll see if I have any interruptions. So yeah, then I decided, I go, oh, I like this. I feel like, I think I joked about it with, I went to one of the narrator conventions, and I was like, oh, it's nice being part of an acting business where it's growing. Cause every other part, with TV's dying, theater's dead. You know, it's just like everything's dying, and audiobooks were growing. Now they'll die again because the robots are here. But like at the time, everything was growing. And then I had wanted to write for a long, long time. And I have, I still have, and I had before I started working with Kaylee, an unpublished novel. And then as I was-
An unfinished unpublished novel.
No, the different novel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. No, that was a novel. Not that one.
Yeah, okay.
That one is an unfinished unpublished romance novel that I was writing. And then I get an email from Kaylee being like, hey, do you want to write with me? And I was like, yeah.
It was a much longer email.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wittily crafted, filled with the right amount of humor.
Very apologetic.
Truth. Yes. Yes. It was a very well written letter. But I was just like, you know, Kaylee doesn't need me. You know, she doesn't need me to write. So that was a huge, huge boon for me that I was able to work with somebody as established and knowledgeable as Kaylee. So it was a huge learning curve for both of us, though, as far as, you know, Kaylee I mean, hilariously, your whole origin story was how, like, well, I don't want to work with people.
I know.
And then you decided to suddenly work with a person. So,
yeah.
On the other side of the country, so.
You are. I mean, but really. Therein lies a lot of the problem because of the time zone difference. But
it's true.
But yeah, I mean, that's what's funny too, is like I never wanted to be a traditionally published author because I was like, well, you know, a publisher is going to make me leave my house to talk to fans in bookstores. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that online either. Screw that. I'm just going to stay in my room and hit publish and write all day. And it turns out
that's
not how it goes. And I'm fine with it now. But, you know, it's all been a shock.
And there's a progression. I think there's also a neat little thing where, you know, we don't necessarily have to leave our houses to see people anymore or to interact with people anymore. So that brings a little bit of a comfort zone. But as an indie author, I think there's a lot of expectations on you guys that some traditional don't have, because you're promoting yourselves and you're building your own market and you are really, you are your everything. You're your PR team and your marketing and your, you know, you're out there in groups and on social media promoting what you do, and that takes interaction, but there's a nice little buffer of, you know, the screen and the keyboard. So
it doesn't always feel like there's a buffer, but yeah, there is.
I mean, I get that.
Kind of a mental thing that I've been working on. Yeah,
I get that 100%. We've had conversations about that before, where it's like, you would think with the buffer people would behave themselves, but not necessarily. And then, you know, there are a lot of opportunities for authors to go out and to meet people and to get in front of fans. And some authors love it. Some authors just eat it up. They love that. And others are like, it's not my thing. And that's okay, because you have these other ways of interacting.
Yeah, Connor and I have been talking recently about how at a certain point it's going to have to be our thing, because, you know, that's the thing that we can do that robots can't, right? So once I'm fully over my adrenal fatigue.
You've had a lot going on. Right. Yeah. Julie, I'm throwing it over to you.
Welcome back.
When you were speaking, Kaylee, in regards to screenwriting and, you know, now writing as an author, what's your process? Do you write the story kind of like a screenplay and then kind of go back and throw in? I mean, how do you do it?
How
did you switch?
I mean, it was hard. I thought it would be the same thing, just a different format. It's completely different. I mean, so if you've ever seen a screenplay, or if you've never seen a screenplay, there are very few words on the page. And the way, if you watch a movie, if it's like, you know, if it's a 2-hour movie, it's a 120 page script. It's a minute per page. And there's just a lot of white space on the page. It's the dialogue goes down the center of the page, and you're not supposed to write much description. So it's really just a lot of dialogue, and you have to figure out, you know, subtext most of the time, or an action, instead of, you know, having the characters say what they're thinking or feeling or wanting or whatever. And so, you know, I had trained myself and been trained. I got my BFA in creative writing, and I studied drama, and mostly writing drama. And so, you know, I learned not to say what they're feeling and thinking and blah, blah, blah. And I had to train myself to write across the page instead of down the middle of the page. And I had to train myself to explain to the reader what, you know, why a character is feeling and thinking and doing a certain thing. And, you know, that took a little while. Like my first few books are kind of sparse, because the first two actually are novelizations of unfinished screenplays, but then, you know, I got the hang of it, and I think I've started to really lean into the internal monologue a little too much because I'm so in my head. I think my heroines especially can very much spiral out. I write in sequence. I write from, you know, the beginning of chapter one straight through to the end of the book. I used to, when I wrote screenplays, it was a lot easier to kind of jump around because, you know, like I said, there are fewer words. And so it's a lot easier to rewrite a script, and you have to rewrite a script. If you're a professional writer and you're working with producers and studio executives, you do a lot of rewrites because you get a lot of notes. A lot of people are giving you their two cents. And so I think actually because of that experience, I learned a lot. So I can sort of see ahead of time where something is going and if there is going to be a problem, and I can kind of go from micro to macro and back again while I'm working. My first draft is very polished, and for the most part, I really only do a first draft, and you know, if there's any, you know, then it just kind of goes to the copy editor and then the proofreader. And so the final manuscript is very similar to, you know, what I started writing and what Connor and I started writing. And that, and what's funny is Connor is, he's pretty different. I think if he were writing on his own, he would probably prefer to do a lot of different drafts. And what I have learned is to trust that he, sometimes I will get a first, you know, like rough draft of something from Connor. I'll be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is garbage. And it does get better. Like, and he does that. And it's interesting because Connor, when he's recording, is actually kind of similar to me. Like, he kind of re-records as he goes. Like, Connor's probably better at explaining this than me, but the way that most narrators record is punch and roll, right, Connor? So if they are reading along and they realize they made a mistake or something, they will stop and they'll go back and then they'll start recording again. Connor will just keep recording, and he'll, like, if he doesn't like the way he said a line, he'll just say it again two or three times, and then he'll go back and he'll edit it out. Because he likes to just keep going. But anyways, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but I absolutely do not write like a screenplay and then go back. I am writing a novel from the very beginning, and I go in sequence. And
yeah, I mean, that was a learning curve when we started writing together. That is not how I would write at all. Not even close. I'm a big outline guy. I want to swoop in and circle the story over and over and over again. So if I have a chapter and I'll know what's going to happen in the story. I'll do the whole story and then I'll plan out every chapter, but I'll get to chapter 7. And if I'm not feeling it, I know what happens. So I'll write, you know, 500 words, and then I'll be like, I'll come back to that. And then there'll be chapters. There was a chapter in Dash, between him and his agent. I just, I actually spoke that into my phone, and it was pretty much done. It was done in an hour. I finished it. And it was like start to finish. So yeah, so so us trying to navigate that, because she wanted a finished product, and immediately any creativity was like gone from my brain and my heart, where it's like, well, you make sure it's a finished product. It's like, well, then you're getting nothing good. Then nothing good is going to come.
That's exactly what I got. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not nothing good. So calm down.
Honestly, sometimes he does pull a pearl out of his ass. I'm sorry. I couldn't think of a more lovely way of putting it, but
sometimes, well, maybe and if he you does outlined and then took some time with it, you would have come up with.
See, I just don't like talking. This is what happens.
We actually wrote this one differently, actually, The Billionaire is Back. The first four, I mean, it was still a similar process where she kind of take, like, what tropes do we want? Who are these people in general? What is the basic? And then I went to outline it. I mean, I think I think with Decker a little bit, I had this like story. There's this thing I want to do. So that was a little bit more, but the rest of it was all like, all right, Kaylee, what are we doing?
Actually, that's not true.
No?
Well, kind of, but Dash was your idea trope-wise. You wanted to do...
that's true. That's true.
You wanted to do the pregnancy thing.
Right. I go and outline. I figure out all the pieces and put them all together. And then I come back and I go, all right, so what pieces of this do you like? Where do we go from here? And then she would write the female POV and I would write the male one. And that's how we've done it. And except for this one, we started that way. And then we were doing some workshop work on like maximize this partnership as far
optimize,
as
maximize. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So
business size.
Yeah, business size, jazzercise, business size, yep. Synergize. And yes. I realized because I like the top level, high level, like making how do all the pieces fit together, how these people work together. And, you know, Kaylee's wordplay is second to none. And when she really gets going on a chapter. So what happened is, we started it in our initial working relationship, right, Kaylee? And then around like chapter 6 or 7, I was like, okay, I'm going to give you a rough chapter. I'm going to give you the pieces that I like, and I can come back to it later. But if you want to run with this, you run with it. And so then you would polish it and it a complete.
You basically decided it would be more efficient for each of us to do the thing that we liked and are good at. So.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So that this book is the fruits of that labor. So.
Did that make it more fun?
No. This book wasn't fun to write because I was burnt out most of the time. It felt arduous.
We talked about it after, and we are not able currently to separate it from the life people were living, and that whole thing, and figuring it out from our working relationship and what made the most sense. Versus the actual, maybe this process doesn't work. I think it does work. I think we can.
I'm not saying it doesn't work. The fun part is always the Google Doc comments that we make.
That's fun. Yes.
That is always the most fun part of a process. That.
Yeah. Well, I saw Michelle's. I get to see old Michelle's when I was recording.
My authors laugh at me with some of my notes in the margin because they'll get everything from, what the fuck was that? To, I don't think that means what you think it means. To, my favorite one is when they finally get the one that says, and there goes the tea, which usually means that I now have to clean up the mess that I have made on my screen because they have made me laugh. And the tea is now covering the computer screen. But yeah, the margin notes are always fun because then they'll send me back things that say things like, how did you not understand that? Or I'm glad I made you laugh. Or what do you mean? What the fuck? Well, I kind of mean what I said, but the
this is way more polite.
That's
even
so
with the
right.
even
You're
with the
so
F
bomb
than what
yes.
Kaylee. Yeah, so civilized.
So I'm like, did you have a stroke?
Yeah.
I've left a couple.
She
like
said.
That.
She said, I didn't know this joke was going to be in the story. I was like, yeah, the jokes are going in the book, Kaylee. That's what that's why I wrote the jokes so they would be in the book.
Yeah, that we've
and then she called me and one of her favorite names for me.
What?
I don't know. I don't remember which one.
Asshat?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The names are always fun. I come from a background of teaching, so I tend to revert a little bit sometimes when I'm making notes where it's like, I wouldn't say that to one of my students, but I could say that to a friend. So every now and then the friends things slip through, but I tend to revert a little bit back to the teaching part. And then there's always the ones where sometimes the margin note is just ha 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 because I know Ron's looking at me like, yeah, she's seen my margin notes and different things I've worked on. I think Julie's definitely seen my margin notes.
Yeah. I've baited enough of your edits. So.
That's true.
And sometimes I'll highlight. Good girl. And then I'll be like, at Michelle. Here's yours.
there are certain lines that come up that I appreciate more than others. That's true. And there are certain, it's weird now that I get to the point where when I'm reading or editing certain things, I hear it in certain voices. So certain narrators will invade my brain and I'll hear their voices in my head reading things, or actors or things. And Julie will go back and highlight and say, yeah, you're going to like this one. Like, yes, I did. And then we just kind of move on. But I love that you talk about how it's a process, because I think there's always a process that happens and the process shouldn't stay the same. I love hearing from you guys that it's changed.
We're fluid.
It is. Yeah. It's fluid and things change, and it can be everything from, well, this isn't working, so we need to fix it, to, like I said, things are going on in my life right now and this isn't working right now. So we can either move through it and make it work, or we can not. And
yeah. Oh, the other thing we did for this one was we started having FaceTime calls and meetings instead of phone calls, because I always, it feels like Connor is yelling at me whenever we talk on the phone because he's so loud
and East aggressive. Coast. This is the East Coast thing.
So East Coast, yeah. So that's what I learned when we actually hung out in Chicago last year, because I always felt like he's like mad at me and he's yelling at me. And when I was in a room with him and other people, I realized that that's just how he is. He's just a loud person, and it's because he's from New England.
Yeah.
But I was feeling, fragile after the burnout. And so we started. And the other thing that we realized when we were like face to face is that we smile a lot more than we thought the other person did. And so when we can actually see each other.
When you call me asshat and you're grinning.
Yeah. And I'm different. Grinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
So that was another thing. We had like actual scheduled FaceTime meetings instead of Connor calling me and me freaking out that he would dare call me on the phone.
Well, that was the other thing. Yeah. I sounded aggressive, and Kaylee, when she's on the phone, doesn't offer any sort of filler words, or like she'll just stop because she's writing something or she's thinking.
Or I'm thinking because
that's fine. Introvert. You just go and then I know she's thinking. But it's just it's just me talking, and then. Imagine that over and over again, Kaylee.
A marital type relationship.
So now
it's like a horrible, the worst marriage. I mean, he very often thinks I've been kidnapped just because I'm literally thinking of an answer. Like I want to articulate things in the best possible way. Connor's really, really good at thinking on his toes. I'm not. I would always rather rewrite something over and over again before saying it out loud or even hitting send on a text message. Well, that's not true. I think much faster with my fingers, if that makes any sense. So I do prefer emails and texting. Not that I can't banter verbally, but I don't know. I think I'm at my best when I'm typing.
It's the way your mind works, and everybody works differently. There are writers who do a lot of dictation because it's just easier for them to talk and talk and talk. And then there are people who feel better and more comfortable when they're typing things out. They can see the words coming across the screen and they know what it means. And that's, I think it's interesting that you're both pretty different in that. And Connor, I know you said
we're different in almost every way except for our sense of humor. Right? I can't think of, and our sensibilities when it comes to writing. Not the process of writing, but the actual product.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of what makes you guys successful as a team, because if you have people who are at odds and battling each other all the time over something, that's not going to work.
But we are at odds and battling each other all the time, and that's just part of the process.
But that's part of the process. Yeah. And I think like the little pieces start to fit because you each have different strengths that you come at. Connor, you said you have a background where you've done theater and acting, and I think that's in front of the curtain versus behind the curtain are very different elements of theater. and performance. So
yeah, I mean, the other thing
he's flexing whether he's in front of or behind the curtain.
Doing some heavy lifting. Well, I mean, we can focus a lot. Sometimes Kaylee and I have focused on, I mean, it's crazy, honestly, how well it works. It actually has no business.
It shouldn't work.
That she emailed me and it's like, let's try this. And it's not like I also was an author who had 20 books and they were pretty similar. So we're going to just try. It's like I had to learn what it was to really take a book to the finish line. And I'm still learning my process, but I'm learning my process through Kaylee's brand, really, because I don't have a writing brand of my own. So, you know, what I do is tied to Kaylee. So figuring that out and making sure that I'm supporting what she's done in the past. Mm-hmm. And so the part that does work really well is, you know, we look at this book and it's not like one of us looks at the book and we go, well, I didn't get anything I wanted in there, or I got half of what I wanted, but the other half I don't like because you got your half in there. It's not, we're both like, we like this. This is great. This turned out the way we wanted it to. Yeah. So that's why I think it does work, you know?
Yeah, it does. And I have to say too, that a lot of, in the books that we've written together, a lot of the things that fans really, you know, pick out and come away with and remember, like the kaboober that and the strawberries, like that's those are Connor's ideas. I think he really has a knack for the he knows what the ladies like. I think it's just been a lifetime of figuring out how to win over girls.
And then I retired once I got married, so it's I'm happy to bring it out.
Channeling into
retirement.
Channeling it in a different way. Mm-hmm. I had a thought and there it went.
See, it happens, Connor. Are you going to yell at her?
No, because she told me what happened. It wasn't a long stretch of silence. She narrated it. I was a fan of the narration. It was good narration.
I have a tendency to do that too. It's like, I'm thinking of something.
I mean, that's the other piece of it too, is not just our backgrounds where we came from before romance, but in romance. Like I do all sorts of stuff. So I'll tell Kaylee, it's like, this happened in a book. She'd be like, what? That didn't happen. I was like, this happened in a book, you know, because Kaylee has her Kaylee rom-com universe, you know, no Bundt stuff universe. And I narrate books where Bundt stuff does happen. And all sorts of things. So that's the other piece too, where it's just like, I'm like, I can talk to her and be like, well, I'm seeing this come up a lot. People seem to be into this. So, you know, we might want to consider that. So that's, you know,
you do, and then
the flip side is like, Kaylee is an actual woman. So, you know, like, and I'm a dude. So it's just like, I bring certain things to the table, but I know the audience, like, if I was doing this on my own, I would always have the issue of, you know, I think there's certain female characters I can write well, but maybe there aren't. And I would get raked over the coals for those. So to have Kaylee, you know, to be like, no, it needs to work this way. It needs to work that way. So yeah, there's just lots of stuff that does really work that we're able to complement each other.
That's an interesting point, because you are reading so many different books through the narration.
He's so much more well-versed in romance than I am, in capital R romance than I am. Like I'm not a good reader, and he's read hundreds of romance novels, or at least half of them, at least the male POV part. He really knows.
So that's actually okay. That's a question we've asked a couple of other narrators, is the process through your narration. Do you read the entire book, Connor, or do you just, is your process, this is what I'm performing, so this is what I'm reading?
Well, I don't read the female part all that closely. Partially it's just time. I mean, I'll look at it to make sure that I'm on the same page with the female narrator, that we have all the characters down, that I'm not, you know, that I'm not missing something. But you know, there's pieces where, you know, when I'm performing it, I know in essence what the character knows, unless there's some secret where I'm playing another character where you learn something in the female part that you don't know in the male part. It just comes up so rarely where I would have to know that. So oftentimes, like, you know, I know the format, I know the genre, I know the moves. I've written them, and now I've read enough of them where the guy goes, why would she act that way? I know why she's acting that way. I didn't even need to read it most of the time to know why she's acting that way. Like, I know why, where she is in the arc of the story. Mm-hmm. Yep. But in some ways it's fun to be like, I don't know specifically why she's acting that way. Why would I want to know that as I'm being this guy? Cause he doesn't know. But you know,
a little more authentic. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, so I try and make sure that I know the story well enough that I can be the people that I need to be. But the female side of the narration, you know, it's, I'm not going over it and highlighting every, you know, her words and figuring that piece out. So that I pay less attention, but I go through it.
Did you in the beginning? Did you read the entire book in the beginning?
I mean, it's like anything else where you go like, all right, I'm going to do all of it, and then I'm going to get more efficient. I'm going to, you know, where it's just like, I could spend a long time on the female parts, reading them and really breaking them down. Or I could record my chapter again if I don't like it. And it's like, well, which one is more conducive of everyone's time? You know, it's just like, well, I should make sure that I'm spending time on my pieces and making sure that I'm fulfilling that. So yes, in the beginning I did all of it. And then as I've gone over, I've refined my process to be like, and that's also about communication with the female narrator to make sure that we're on the same page.
Very cool. I always like to see what the process is, because everybody, like I said, has different processes. You talk to certain people and they're like, oh, how, this is how I do it. Mm-hmm. And this is how someone else does. And when you're in a performance genre, it's interesting to hear how other people go about things. So I know that wasn't one of the questions we originally had, but like I said, the squirrel brain is always in motion thinking of the next question, where I'm like, I kind of want to know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's more important in Duel, because if I have a scene, let's say it's chapter 18 and she starts and she's hot, like she comes in and she's mad, I need to know what she's mad about, because I'm playing her in that scene. I don't have her internal monologue, and I'm not really, you know, the other thing is my female voice is okay. And in the beginning, I try to do a lot more variation with my female voice, but I just feel like I'm a Monty Python sketch. You know, it just doesn't, it's just not that. Then that's not what people pay me for. So in Duel, I need to make sure that I emotionally know where she's coming from. But in Duet, it's like, I'm not any of her parts, you know? So I need to play the emotion of the scene and be present in the scene. That's the trick in Duet, because when you're in a chapter and you have 8 lines, you have to make sure that your energy is there in those 8, if that makes sense. Where it's just like, when you're narrating, you're already there because you're describing it and you're talking the whole time and you bring it back down, but then you're back in it again and you're just kind of riding this wave. But in Duet, when you're just the wild lines and in her chapter, and it's like, it's a big heated chapter, that's a trick to make sure that you're like, you're there, you're in the scene. So
similar to performing in a show, and you know, that's putting yourself in that moment where you're like, okay, I only have this much to go on, but I have to make sure that it's as intense as it needs to be, and it follows what it needs to be, and be in the, don't miss a line, don't miss a mark, don't miss it, you know, you have to be right on it.
Well,
so
in that way, it's very much more like film acting than it is theater acting, because theater, you're in the space with the person, so you get their energy. And in film, sometimes you're talking to a wall, sometimes it's a green, you know, it's just like, it's not, you know, I haven't been able to think of any names today, but there was one actor he talked about. He's like, you should be able to do it to a wall and it shouldn't make a difference. You should have that level of craft. So there is that piece of it.
I get that. And I think that goes back to when we're listening to audiobooks, there's a difference. There are certain narrators we come back to over and over and over again, because they can truly immerse themselves in whatever the scene is and however they're narrating it. And it comes across as, it's just more effective, you know, when we can, you can feel the energy in the lines that they're saying, even though there may not be many of them. Mm-hmm. When you're doing that in the duet, and then in duel, when you have to pick up everything and you have to put in the emotions and everything that everybody else is feeling, it comes across differently from certain people. Mm-hmm. Which is, again, I think, like, why we gravitate to certain narrators. And I am one of those people where I will pick up a specific audiobook because of who's narrating it, even if it's somebody I've never read before. But if there are certain narrators in it that I know I like, I'm like, oh, well, let's check that out. I wouldn't necessarily read their book otherwise, but I will because of the narrators. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain authors where I'm like, I love this author, and I'm going to trust that the narrators are going to do justice to their work because I love the author. And then sometimes they just kind of come together where it's like, I love this author and I love these narrators, and this is like the perfect book. So that kind of happens a lot with you guys, just so you know. I get to the point with certain books where I'm like, I don't want to read it. I just want to listen. I just want to absorb it. It's what I need for that story, is to have them tell me in my head versus me reading it. So, squirrel just went again. I'm like, there was something else, but
I think we should talk about the book.
I'm like looking at my notes also. And I'm like, so we had all like these questions, and then there we went off on a tangent.
we're running a little long tonight. I know. I want to make sure we talk about the book.
That's what she said. Sorry. Oh God. So
nice.
Sorry. So Susie had a really good question from way back. We're gonna go back to talking about the book we're supposed to be talking about. Susie's gonna bring us back to it.
Do you have a favorite scene or part in The Billionaire's Back?
I do. I really love the first chapter. It took me a long time to write it and really get into it, but I feel like, so the first chapter is 12 years before the rest of the book, and there's kind of a YA quality to it. Yeah. And I was really proud of the fact that, like, you immediately get their dynamic and the setting and just the tone of the book, and it's more feelsy than I think what I normally write, at least in the beginning of a book, because usually I write, I think in almost all of my books, he falls first, and it takes her a long time to admit that she has feelings, and this one, I think I decided I wanted her to really have that longing. And it was actually, I loved writing it. It felt kind of painful and weird and awkward at first, but I just put that into the chapter, into the way I wrote it. And I really loved it. It was really all the feels in that one chapter. Yeah. So I love that. And then I also love, there's a whole sequence, like right before they go to New York, when it's raining, which is very romantic. Yeah. And I love it in the audiobook. I love the way Connor narrated that when Grady finally, you know, says how he's always felt. It's very satisfying. So yeah, that's my favorite.
I think my favorite is when he comes back and there's all these memories in the car, and then all that leading up and seeing his family and then seeing her again for the first time, and all that. I think that whole sequence from when he finds his old car in the garage to seeing her in her bakery, I think that's my favorite section.
Yeah, that's a good example of like one of Connor's really good first drafts, because I didn't have to do a lot to that chapter.
Yeah, you never know.
Just flow.
Yeah. When I it's think good, that's it's good. Cool. And when it's bad, Katie fixes it. Oh, yeah. That's my motto.
Yep.
That process works. So you go with it.
So what is the thing that you're most excited about this book?
I'm interested. Can you hear my cat? Sorry. I'm interested to see how people respond to the tone of it, because I think, it is, there is a lot of quirkiness in there, but I think, like I said, there is a lot of sort of feelsiness in this one too, but also it's a slow burn, and then there's just like so much sex, and it's a little bit, I don't know if it's spicier, maybe it's spicier. I think the early readers found it a bit spicier than the other books. Like, I feel like with every book that I've written, the open door is opening a little bit wider. and so I'm interested to see how people react to certain spicy scenes.
I hope people respond to, I was really happy with how we combined Billionaire with Small Town. Yeah. Without the billionaire owning the small town. So where we got Billionaire, like I was big on, I want to say this without judging, because I put my all, but I have my own opinions about the books I read, which I try very hard to keep to myself without, I just want to be positive, but what are the odds that I would like every book exactly the same of the 275 that I've done? But I try to be professional, but I'm always like, be a billionaire. That's so much money. It's so much money. But a lot of times people are billionaires and they do nothing with it. So I was like, he's gonna treat her to some awesome stuff. Like some awesome stuff. And so that was big on my part. But then also like to make sure we get the small town, like the cool, quirky, cozy character feel, to have both those things. And I was like, The way we structured the story, I was like, I really like the way this works. So,
well, I work for Avery Maxwell, so our niche is small town billionaire.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And,
yeah.
And we didn't know that was a thing when she
started writing it. She didn't know it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. She said that.
She's like, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that it couldn't be a thing. Well, so for me, reading or listening to this, and I'm sure that I'll read it too, because I have a tendency to do both, but that was the thing that I liked, because that's the thing I like about Avery's books, is that her guys are all kind of princes. They treat their ladies like they should be treated, and so I'm like, well, this will be fun, because I like, it's the niche that I know, and you guys did it really, really well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And without being like presumptuous. I mean, I think that there's a line in billionaire romances that you have to tread really carefully, where the uses of the over the top gifting don't become slimy. And you guys did it. You guys did it really, really well. It was classy, and as far as the spice level in it, I don't know whether it was, listening to it, I can tell you it was very spicy, because my family listened to it as well. We don't have any children in our house. We're all adults. Oh, okay. So there are no children in our house.
Mine didn't.
Good. But I think that it is, because it is a little bit more slow burn, it wasn't necessarily, I got to the end of it and I thought, well, was that spicy or was it just compact? And I was like, well, if you took all of the spice in Kaylee's in their other books and you kind of like truncated it down into this space, I think the spice level is probably pretty even.
Interesting.
But because it's all like leading up to it, and there's so much, they just get on with it already.
Yeah.
Compacted
spice.
Like, they're going to do it. We know we're going to do it. I know they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So, I thought that it was very well done, the audio, that's the other thing I wanted to ask. And I think Julie's going to ask the question later. Is it when you're doing the narration for those components of the story, does co-writing help you navigate those, or is it actually worse trying to read your own scene?
No, it's honestly much easier, because part of the issue, I've said this before in other interviews, but it's not quite acting, even when you want to act it. You still have to narrate because the author isn't there and there's no director. And so this is the one performance of this story. And I also don't want to get in the way by making it out. Like if you're at, you know, the whole, I don't know how familiar you are with, you know, the whole Jack Sparrow thing about he was supposed to be just a normal swashbuckler. And, you know, Johnny Depp came in with all these choices and they were going to fire him and they had meetings about it. And good thing he did that. But it's just like, if I did that with a book, it's done. Like, and then it's there and the author's incredibly unhappy with it, maybe, you know. And so I have to pull back to a certain extent to make sure that I'm not going to places where I think it would work. I think it would be nice, but it's not really on the page. It's not. And so with when I do my own stuff or like stuff with Kaylee, there's no question. I know exactly what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I noticed that in Decker. I have listened to most of the stuff that you have done with Kaylee. And that was when I noticed there was a difference in the way that you owned it, I think.
Because Decker is cocky as well, but yes.
I wasn't going to say that.
I'll say it.
But no, but I think that it felt like I adore what you do with your narration, but with Decker and with this one too, I think it just feels like it's so natural, like. You already know that that's the way it's supposed to be, and you bring that subtle, this is what the author really meant with this scene to it, and I commend you on that.
Thank you.
So
I was so impressed with the level of innuendo. So I need to know who thinks of that. So one, the chapter titles, phenomenal, love the chapter titles, but there was so much fun innuendo worked into everything. That just came through in the narration also, that I don't know if it would have come through the same way on the page reading it. So I don't know who was responsible for it, if it was a combined effort.
Said, I don't know either. It's probably both of us.
I was adamant. I was like, I want chapter titles because Kaylee had them in, it was Bossy, right?
Well, all the very holiday books have them.
Right, yes. Right. All the very, and I just like them. I think they set the tone.
I like them. It's a lot too. Of fun.
I love it.
Go on.
Well, there's other writers too that do titles, and I always like them whenever I'm narrating. You know, honestly, when I narrate, it's very much not about whether I enjoy something or not, because I have a job to do. But whenever there's a title, I just enjoy it. So, like, that's just me, like a reader, just enjoying it. But then, and so we came up with chapters, but it was pretty 50-50. I came up with about half.
It was. Like, I always, I actually come up with the chapter titles first before we get into the writing of the manuscript. And so we had a Google Doc with a bunch of punny potential titles, and then we would sort of pick one for whichever fit the chapter. A couple of them we just came up with for the chapter while we were writing, but it was that was a fun thing.
They're fantastic.
They're really funny.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that you know, I knew wouldn't necessarily translate to audio, like the need, like KNEAD.
Oh, I totally heard it though. Really? I knew,
like, you can see it.
Well, and I think because you had already built it up where, you know, that's, I was just looking at that. It's like, that's chapter 8. So by chapter 8, after hearing most of them before then, I'm like, okay, there's a pun in there. And it just came across because you built that.
I say it differently, knowing that it may or may not come across, but instead of saying a friend in need, I said a friend in need. And so, you know, there's something, it just marks it. You either know or you don't, but you just know that it's not the normal version of need.
Chapter 9 was my favorite title, and chapter, the giant pain in the bunt, was just fantastic. That whole chapter was great.
Do either of you have a particular trope that you like to write, don't like writing? Not that you're yucking anybody's yum,
just, you know, your preferences.
Well, you know, I think almost everything I write is opposites attract just because I like the banter and the dynamic of that. But I really want to get back to writing a friends to lovers story. And I actually have so many ideas and I just can't nail one down. But, you know, enemies and frenemies to lovers is very fun. I'll never write a bully romance. I don't think I'll go very dark ever.
Yeah, I can't see you doing that either.
No, I mean,
so off-brand.
Yeah, I just, I mean, one day I would love to write like just a straight contemporary romance and see if I can and like not have the joke. Well, I've been reading quite a bit of Lucy Score lately, and it's so interesting to me because she's hilarious. Like, she's like mm-hmm. a genuinely funny person and writer, and she can write. Like, it's like very widely appealing contemporary romance where the characters are also quippy, you know?
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do something like that someday.
Cool. I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Good. I hope I write it.
No, I like the challenge of figuring it out. I need to understand it. I think the Kaylee for Very Vegas, it was accidental marriage. What's the official name of that trope? We Woke Up Married. And I remember her telling me that. I'd be like, well, how? What are you talking about? Yeah. And so, but I think part of the advantage is I, as a man, get to translate that. So I get to understand the trope and then slightly nudge it a different way so that I can get, you know, like, okay. Which a little less.
One of the things, if I can just jump in and say, one of the things about working with a guy is that I always have to deal with the question, well, why aren't they fucking? Like, I'm like, because of the trope. It's the trope. They can't be fucking. He's like, but come on.
All right. Yeah.
If it were up to Connor, they would all be like, no strings.
Okay. Right? That's a bit much.
But also true.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, so I like same thing with Billionaire and Small Town is trying to understand. So what are the elements of these pieces that are so attractive to so many people? And then, well, what piece of that do I like? I like the challenge of that. So, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I like quippy stuff and, you know, it's fun coming up with those chapter titles. And the unfinished romance novel I have is very much, if anybody ever reads that someday, it'd be like, so wait, this was written before you met Kaylee? But I don't know if that's what I would ultimately write, you know. But I still feel like I'm in the phase of perfecting all the brush strokes and making sure that I can do, you know, as a painter, you can do realism, you can do all the stuff, and then you can go off and do your own thing, which I may or may not ever do. But, you know, I think part of why we changed it is we want to make this as fun as possible. And I think without the outside life stuff that happened, I think it will be and would be. And there's people we want to get back to in Beacon Harbor, I think. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. No, we're getting back to it.
Yeah.
I love that you have that collaboration, though, where you had it beforehand. So, you know what it was, where it's going. So when the hiccups happen, when you're working in a business partnership with someone like that, and then a hiccup happens, if all you know is the hiccup, I think it does make it difficult to kind of get back to it. But you guys have had this relationship longer than that. So when life happens and yeah, it's like the ultimate shit storm, you're like, okay, this is a bump. I get it, but there's other things. And I do think it's neat because this is kind of unique where the two of you working together, most romance author partnerships, most romance writers in general are women. So having that different perspective, someone who comes in and they're like, huh, maybe we need to push this along a little bit. This is kind of draggy, or someone's coming back and saying, but this is what they want. I'm a woman and I know this is what they want, but the guys, you know, like, but this isn't real. I love that kind of a push and pull because it kind of gives you both a little bit more to move forward and to grow, to progress, to sit through that process so that it gets better as you go. It's not stagnant, you know?
Yeah. Do you guys, those of you who like had read my books before, or as well as the stuff I've written with Connor, do you notice any slight differences?
Or major differences.
Or major differences.
You know, there's a tone. I think there's a tone shift a little bit between some of the chapters for me. But I like it. It's like you're hearing different minds.
Connor, well, yeah, that's the thing that works for dual POV writing. Connor's, I have to say, Connor's author voice is actually, it's a little bit cheesier than mine. And it's lovely. It's really, really lovely. I mean, he really is more of a capital R romantic than I am. And he'll, in his in his outlines, it'll very often say, they make love. And I'm like, seriously, dude? Is that what they do?
Some people, when they find the right person.
I have no problem with the making love, but I'm like, okay, but how are they going to make love? Like,
that's a problem for another day. It's an outline.
It's an outline, right?
I've read your older, your solo stuff, and I think that there's well, I love your solo stuff. Let's put that out there. I love it, and I think that you write male characters really well and very believably. And I think that there's an authenticity that comes from having a guy chime in not so much that the scene is completely different, but that the cadence in the languaging seems more authentic. I live with a punster, so I as I was listening to it, I'm like, oh yeah, I can tell that this is the way a guy says it, and this is the intonation that a guy uses. Mm-hmm. That it's really subtle, and it's not, I mean, not that that your work was lacking in any way, but it does add a depth that I appreciate.
Cool.
Yeah. I have
well, you
to
know,
ask,
when I I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I thought a lot about this when I partnered up with Kaylee, and you know, when we were planning out the year, like I have my own schedule and Kaylee has her schedule, and what is she releasing next year and what are we working on together, and like, am I ever going to do my own stuff? And as I narrate, you know, hundreds and hundreds of authors' works, it's like, I know when guys sound like guys and I know when they don't, and I'm like, I'm the only one and it doesn't matter, because the whole audience, they have no idea. Whereas the reverse of that, if I'm writing a female chapter, they'll know immediately. They'll know immediately, and it'll be a major, major problem. So, you know, whether I've read authors where the guy, I'm like, oh, these are dudes. Yeah, well done. Nice. And then I've read ones where I'm like, okay, you know, these are fully fleshed out characters. They're not like my friends. They're not, you know, that kind of deal. But it's also like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter, given the audience. The audience is not going to be like, wait a minute. You know, it's not like it's 50% dudes out there being like, whoa, 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 whoa. I came here for small town, but I'm just not vibing with. Yeah.
I'm laughing because every now and then my husband will read something over my shoulder and he's like, and I'm like, go away, not for you. But he's also like the king of dad jokes and puns, so when those come up, it's like, yeah, I'm definitely hearing that in a guy's voice. Well done, well played. Yeah, there's definitely a difference. Julie, you were saying something.
I feel like this book, there was an intimacy that was there. Yes, it was spicy for sure, but there seemed to be an intimacy, and it's probably just their knowledge of each other, and just, I don't know. I felt so much in this book. I loved it. I loved the fact that, you know, he's this billionaire dude, and then he gets in the car and he's, you know, it's almost like he's going back. Back in time, the CD player, I loved the fact that was in there. It was just, I don't know, quirky for me, but, and then when he got to Beacon Harbor, it was like, hey, you know, and he was just back to his normal self. So I felt like you did a great job.
Yeah. And that intimacy that they had, that was one of the reasons I wanted it to be a brother's best friend, because I felt like that was the thing that would tie the small town and the billionaire together, the fact that they already knew each other. Because it's brother's best friend and friends to lovers is kind of similar in that way, and the quality of how that relationship changes when they become lovers. And I loved that. I mean, like I said, it was kind of, it was weird for me to have that that feeling of longing and rejection at for the heroine at the beginning of the book. I don't usually write that, but I ended up really and truly loving it, and it was so satisfying when she finally hears from him, you know, why he felt that he couldn't be with her. It was
we talk about that a lot during the process, where it's like, where I try and figure out, I was like, so what do you like, Kaylee? What are you most interested in here? And you talked a lot about that, about, you know, that idea of this unrequited thing, you know, hanging for, you know, I mean, that there's, when we wrote the kiss, that was one of my favorite parts, of like the idea that they've been holding this last inch for 12 years, the last inch between where their lips are going to meet. Like, that was, you know, he had to travel hundreds of miles in like 12 years, and then there's 1 inch left, and they got to figure that out.
Yeah.
See, that is what I think is amazing about the story. Just that 1 inch. It seemed like there was that 1 inch everywhere, like weaved throughout. And it just, I don't know, there was just an emotion to it. And I just, you did a great job. Sorry.
Good. I'm glad. I'm getting all.
I think that was the goal, where it's just like, I wanted all the colors. We wanted all the colors of, like, you know, it being funny, and, you know, and actually, you know,
at first we weren't sure how
we weren't sure, but we were like, we were under the auspices of maybe a light contemporary, because we didn't know how funny it would be. And then you know,
lobsters, and
it was so funny.
And Kaylee made Krabby Crawford, because I was annoying her one day, so she made another CC.
One day, yeah.
Well, that particular day, I annoyed you so much, you created a Krabby Man.
Yeah, who was a CC. He just happened to be also a CC.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So.
He's awesome.
Yeah, it was sad. Connor was sad that a lot of the Krabby Crawford scenes ended up being Samantha's chapters.
Yeah, I think Samantha was also sad about that.
She's also not thrilled.
Yeah, she's still mad at me.
Can, we just shout out to her? Because she did an amazing job.
Yeah, yes.
Amazing. Let's talk about her. So I hadn't listened to her, and I hadn't heard her until I streamed. My friend Aaron Mallon did that thing in Vegas, if these walls can talk, where they did it live in Vegas, and Samantha subbed in for Emma Wilder, and I immediately saw in her performance at a table read, I was like, she can, you know, fly with the Kaylee Loring lady parts. Like, I could just tell that she had the sense of humor and the energy for my stuff. And I brought her up to Connor. I was like, well, what do you think about Samantha Brentmore? And he was like, yeah, like, cause he had, was just starting to work with her a lot at that point.
Not as much as I have been lately.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's Cracemore.
Yes.
I sent her an email for a project. I assumed she was the other narrator. She was just the producer. But I was just like, here's your stuff. And she's like, well, actually. Sorry. Yep, sorry.
But anyways, so I, and you know, and I, it, like I said, it felt like I worked really hard on this. And it was such a slow burn. And when we finally got to the chapter where they did it, I spent like at least a week writing that chapter, because I wanted it had to be a huge payoff. And also, she had been resisting him for so long, and I knew that this was where, like, you know, the dam is going to burst. And so I wrote it in a very, very specific way. And Sam completely nailed it. Like, yeah, she just totally got every line perfectly. Yep. Like, just the, oh my God, it's finally happening kind of
thing. Yes.
It was so great to listen to. So, yeah.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
She is one of those when I get the audio files to proof and I see her name and I'm like, oh, yay. Yeah. I gotta get excited about that. Because she does bring a lot of emotion to it. And she's got just this variety of ways that she, her cadence, her tone, her inflection, everything is just really, really solid.
Well, I listened to every piece of it because I produced this one. So I did all the proofing, yeah, which I hadn't cool done before. So it was nice to piece it all together.
Mm-hmm. To hear it all.
Yeah. And that chapter is one where I didn't do very much on, because that was one we were leading up and Kaylee was like, no, I know. Like, you know, it was almost the reason for the book was that chapter, you know, like that coming together. Mm-hmm. So Kaylee knew what she wanted to do with it. So I was just like, great. And then she wrote it.
Run with it.
And yeah.
I love it. And it was the bundt cake scene, the bundt, the one we were trying to figure out who wrote it, who was responsible for the.
No, I will tell you this. Behind the scenes, when Connor wrote his first rough draft, there was a backdoor joke. It ended as a button. It was like, I need to go through your back door. And I then turned it into a bundt cake joke. I was like, well, they're in a bakery, so we need to make it a bundt cake joke and not
we
a
need to.
Joke.
Do you hear that? We need to.
It worked.
Yeah, we must.
It worked. That was the scene I had the Elder Spawn listened to. I was like, this is freaking hilarious. So,
but and it that's was. What the quote that I had written, and I'm in the car, I drive regularly, so I know I was cracking up, but hot weenie baby batter. I just, it made me crack up.
Oh my God. I mean, I obviously wrote it. I don't remember where I wrote that, but oh my God, did I really write that?
That has you written all over it.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
The context.
Yeah. The Stalker Sisters, I'm not sure how whether you guys know what our background is, but the Stalker Sisters started as a chat. that is nearly a 24/7 fixture on Facebook now.
I love knowing that. I mean, it scares me, but I love knowing that about this community, that there are women who are just constantly, like, nobody is reading alone anymore.
No, right? The four of us are so plugged into each other, I mean, into our lives and to all of the things that we do, that Stalker Sisters has just kind of evolved from that. But our chats for this particular listen were hilarious because we knew that we weren't supposed to spoil anything, so like the chats are all one or two words.
carrot cake frosting. That was little tiny thing. Nice.
And I'm like, this is marketing gold, we should send this to them.
I would use that. This book is, for me, it's really hard to market because, you know, like I said, we were trying to combine all these different things. And I'm like, well, how do you like market that to like the whole audience? Or do you like divide it up and like, okay, we'll market to the romantic comedy audience. And then there's a small town audience. And then there's a millionaire audience. Or is it just like the whole general? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that it works as a total package. It's brilliant, and I totally enjoyed not only experiencing it but sharing it with my sisters here. So thank you so much for allowing us to have that experience.
You're welcome. Yes. I wish we should have thought to give you guys the ARCs as well. But oh well.
Well, I got one. I kind of wormed my way into your ARC team a while ago. I think I begged because I have I have a horrible time waiting for things.
Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the podcast, Connor said something about, you know, the ingredients of the book, and that is like perfect marketing for the book. So that has to be, you know, instead of trope, the ingredients of the book.
That's so funny.
You hear that, Kaylee? It was perfect. What I said.
Perfect.
was.
Hey man, I'm the one who said that very often the stuff that you write is what the women pick up on. I said that.
You did.
But
say
I
that.
Will also say
what you
that
said
I
about me was idea. Perfect. That was perfect. What you just said.
When you hey, said I was perfect, that was perfect. No, but I will say that I've been making notes. I've been putting off doing reels for this, but I did, the first idea I had was, you know, me.
You made a great reel, the Canva one you just sent me.
That was for an ad. Like I still have to do reels that like I'm actually physically in, like for my IG profile.
Right.
But I'm going to do something where like I'm typing in the ingredients. So that was an idea that I had. So I'm glad to know that it was a perfect idea, that now it will sound like I stole it from Connor and his Stalker Sisters. But
that's the advantage of being partners.
I think it needs to be a recipe card instead of a trope graphic, instead of a trope square. Yeah. A recipe card.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And
one part
I think you should.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Like on the Instagram reel or one of them. And mm-hmm. or TikTok, you know, be mixing a cake, you know, and talking about the book or talking about the scene or whatever.
Like pink frosting off of
pink frosting.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Pink frosting is the strawberries of this book, right? Mm.
So a friend, my best friend's daughter, so my supplemental spawn, just turned 20, and my friend sends me a picture of this heart-shaped cake with pink confectioner's sugar as the frosting on it, and I just started laughing, and I sent her back, and I was, because she reads romance also, and I'm like, oh honey, just wait. I'm gonna send her the book when it comes out, because now she's like, no, I don't want to wait, what's wrong with you?
I will say that for that scene, Connor had like butter and sugar, and I was like, it has to be pink.
Yes, yeah. Pink. Oh my God. That's okay, teamwork. Sorry. That is yep. A spoiler there, but you know what?
It people is have it, to go and look for it, though.
I said what I said. Now you got to find kind. It. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Oh gosh, we are like, okay, we're taking up
over.
Like entirely
way
too much
over.
Of your time, and we appreciate it so much. So, okay, we had other questions, but you know what? Executive decision here. I'm going to do a real quick. What's next? What's coming up for you guys next?
Well, we've already worked on the outline for Damien and Vera's book. So it's
oh, yes.
It's going to be another Beacon Harbor rock star.
That makes me very happy.
Yeah. So we'll get into, I mean, people who haven't read it yet won't know what this means, but we'll get into like, you know, why Vera is the way that she is and why they have the dynamic that they have. And
yeah, there's
it's
a really cool
fun.
Reason.
It's really fun. It will be hopefully the opposite of what this was, in that this book was the longest book either of us has ever written at like over 117,000 words, and every chapter was so fucking long. But this one is going to be much more like, it's just going to go like this. It's going to be 70,000 words.
You say that
or less.
Every time, Kaylee.
I know I do, but this really feels like it's going to be like that, because it's kind of that frenemies to lovers vibe, and it's a really fun story.
Yeah, it is.
I'm excited for that.
We're here for it.
Definitely.
They're
here
selling
for it.
Shorter books to girls who like girthy books, so it's all good.
We like big books, and we cannot lie. Nope. So many jokes. Nope. Stop it. Okay. just keep going on it.
God forbid you should say funny things around us.
My God.
How dare you? Is that an innuendo?
Especially wordplay. What?
Disgusting.
Right. They'll tell you. I have a tendency like off the rails. I have no filter. I hit 50 and filter failure became a big time thing. All the fucks just went right out the window. So I have none left to give. My field of fucks is barren. And so.
Hold you. And I've got time on you. And I'm pushing 60 and I have even fewer.
What?
See, then you're getting into wordplay on my last name, and I can just go off on that for hours. I'm not even going to go there. Yeah.
More, fewer.
Not as many as, less than. 10 items or fewer. Here we go. Okay, we're moving on to the speed round because we got to let you guys go because y'all have lives and we appreciate you spending this part of your lives with us. But we always do this little speed round. It's not anything, you know, super exciting or fancy, but it's fun. So it's a this or that. So we've got some this or that questions that we'll ask you guys. And it's just whatever pops into your head first. And Julie, you're first.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beard or no beard? That might be odd for you to answer.
I will be someone's beard. I will be the right person's beard.
And I have a beard. So double beard.
Hard rock or country?
Hard rock.
Hard rock.
Beach or mountain vacation?
Beach.
Plan ahead or live in the moment?
I plan ahead.
Plan.
Read the book or audio book?
Well, honestly, it depends, but audio.
I have to read all of them. I don't get to listen. So I guess read.
He has to read the audio. Yeah.
Cookies or cake?
Cookies. Wow, we have so much more in common, Kaylee.
I know.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
It depends on the product.
Good answer.
No, it's Drag not. Cake. It's this or that.
The answer is carrot cake.
It depends.
But I love twist ice cream, cheese. So you get both.
Pink frosting.
Pink frosting.
Pink frosting.
Draft or edit?
I don't draft, I guess. What does that mean?
Do you prefer to draft or do you prefer to go back and fine tune?
You're draft, Kaylee.
I'm draft, yeah.
You're definitely draft.
Okay.
Edit.
Interesting. Kindle or paperback?
I mean, I read more on Kindle.
Yeah.
Me
I
too.
Like paperbacks.
Very cool. See, that was easy, right? And fun.
Yeah, so, I wasted so much diarrhea all day.
Right?
I lost so much water weight, you guys. That's the thing. Like, Connor hates hearing about it, but he's like, I did not enjoy this information at all. But I'm like, but I lost so much water weight. It's amazing. It's
now you have to hydrate. Hydrate.
No, I always hydrate.
I'm pro hydration.
Yeah.
Big time. Yes.
Thank you so much for doing this with us.
Could be vodka.
This is fun.
It could be vodka. I don't know. Who knows? But thank you guys so much for joining us, for chatting with us, for spending the time with us and spending the time with our listeners and viewers. It's been a lot of fun and we really, really, really appreciate your time. Yeah. So,
thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're in such good company.